Welcome to Planet Marzipan Podcast,
your fish and Marillion podcast,
where we talk about all things in the planet of Marillion and fish. I'm Meza, and here's my mate,
Craig Houston.
Welcome to another Planet Marzipan podcast. I'm Meza, and I'm here with my mate,
Craig Houston.
Craig Houston in the Zeus. We are talking about the latest release from Marillion, which is An Hour Before It's Dark, live in Port Zealand 2023.
On Blu-ray.
On Blu-ray and CD.
And what is that not, though?
Not a vinyl. We won't be doing Just for the Record this week.
But?
Coming out to retail, I think about Easter next year, isn't it?
Well, if the Ghost of the Mist is on the field and HMV can get their act together, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a recording of Saturday the 18th of March 2023, where the band, the Saturday night of the Holland Convention, the Port Zealand Convention, the first Holland Convention this year, and it's a really good set list and a really fantastic Blu-ray as an oversight. How old were you when this Blu-ray came out, Craig?
Well, when the Blu-ray came out, I was 51.
Oh my God.
When the gig was on, I was 50.
Yes. So 51 when it was released.
It was only like 2 weeks ago.
I know. It's currently only available from Racket Records. Somebody messaged me the other day to say, well, can I get it in HMV? I said, no, it's not out yet. No, not yet. But there is a release planned via Adele, as we say, probably March, April time, I think is what Lucy told us. And that will include a vinyl release as well.
And it'll be on the streaming services then as well.
Yeah. So thank you to the Racket Elves. We do have our copies. We did order them and get them very promptly. What are you grinning at?
I'm not saying. All I'm going to say is that cracking email I got from Racket.
Oh, yes. Craig had a slight technical hitch with his order. And when he emailed Racket to say, help, please, what did they say?
Well, what did they say? It was a Mr. Mark Kennedy who
told
us.
All right, what did he say?
Who told us to go somewhere that you had me money.
Oh, he said, we've got your money. It's exactly what he said. We've got your money. Go away.
Well, it wasn't quite go away.
But yes, but we have now got them, thank you, and jolly good they are too. We're going to go through them track by track, I think, this time. It's got a lot to live up to, I think, because currently, prior to this coming out, I think the best looking and sounding Marillion Blu-ray is probably All One Tonight. Would you agree?
I definitely would agree with that. Would agree with that.
So we'll see if this gives it a run for its money.
Yeah. And this is the first time as well we're going to be actually talking about An Hour Before It's Dark, because we haven't actually done that on the pod yet.
Yeah, this is going to be a bit of a sneaky preview of and my opinion on one track on An Hour Before It's Dark has changed over this last weekend.
Ooh. You mean you don't like The Crow and the Nightingale anymore?
I don't mean that. No, I don't. So shall we go through it? Are you ready?
As I'll ever be.
Okay. So it starts with, as the album does, Be Hard on Yourself. But there's a precursor to that, isn't there?
Yes, there's a nice long intro with it, with Carl Sagan speaking over, but don't want to spoil it too much, but it gives the start of the album that extra build up. It sounds great.
So it's him reciting Pale Blue Dot, isn't it? It's a very sort of almost sci-fi type opening, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it would have been great on the album, but I don't think it would have worked on the studio album as well, because everybody be going, come on, let's get it started. But as the start of a gig, it's fantastic.
It's a good opener, and also the screen media that's going on at the same time is really good.
Yeah, so I'm liking the live opening of it, loving it.
Yeah, yeah. The first thing to say is the video looks, or the Blu-ray looks stunning. It's the picture quality is absolutely amazing.
It's as close as you're actually going to get to ultra high definition.
Yeah,
without it actually being a 4K, 4K release, but
it looks absolutely wonderful, and that's huge thanks to Jens and to Tim and his team at I can't think of the name now. At
Port Zealand.
At Port Zealand, yes, but at Beyond Infinity, sorry.
Toward Infinity.
Toward Infinity. Oh,
they haven't got Beyond Infinity.
That's not good, is it? Beyond.
To Infinity and Beyond. You're just stuck
Tim,
in a Disney.
I'm really sorry.
You're stuck in a Disney head, aren't
you? I saw you on Friday night and told you how much I love this. So apologies. Toward Infinity.
You didn't call them Buzz Lightyear, did you, by any chance?
I didn't.
That's all right then.
But it looks, despite all my errors there, it looks absolutely stunning. The band are on good form. They look really up for the gig at the start of the gig. And it's a good version. It's a cracking version of Be Hard on Yourself. I don't think that's particularly one of your favourite tracks, is it, Craig?
It's not one of my favourite tracks. There's some of it I love. Some of it leaves us a bit meh. I think it's one of their most cobbled and glued together songs.
Oh, wow.
But it works. I mean, there's some of it. It works. But to me, for me, it's the weakest song on the album.
Okay. I enjoyed it. Lots and lots of Mr. Kelly on it. Yeah, it's good. It looks good. And the Blu-ray has a 5.1 mix on it. Now, it's a 5.1 live mix. So it's not a sort of, as with the studio stuff, where there's sounds flying around in different speakers. It is just mixed with Rothers off to the front right and, you know, and H in the center speaker. And it's got a slight amount of reverb on it in the back speakers. It sounds great. I've heard some really bad live 5.1s that I don't use that 5.1 soundtrack on. I just play it through stereo. But this is good. This is good. And it's a real feel of the gig. You know, the sound is mixed as though you were there. Pete, on the first song, the band are that up for it. Pete's already on Rother's side of the stage during Be Hard on Yourself. So he's had his jumping beans and he's given it lots. The camera that is right in front of H is on a rail and it does pan sort of left to right, which is a nice effect. It starts one of the shots, I can't remember whereabouts it is in the song, but one of the shots starts with H on the right-hand side of his screen and the screen media on the left, and then it pans across in front of him and you end up with the reverse of that with the screen media on the right. Yeah. And H on the left. It's really nice. Nice effect. And at the end of that, H comes out and says, Saturday night is album night. To which he gets a huge roar from the crowd. Next up is a track that was played this last weekend, Reprogram the Gene.
I love this track.
I think it's great. I think it's good on the Blu-ray. The version that we saw, we're recording this on Tuesday night, so the first thing we saw two nights ago at the Roundhouse was really, really rocky, I thought.
Yeah.
And all the better for it.
I think as they've continued to play An Hour Before It's Dark, like through its entirety, they've just got better and better of doing it and tightening it up. I mean, not saying it wasn't great the first time we saw it live, but, you know, when they've had practice with it.
Yeah. It sounds great on the Blu-ray.
Your visuals are great on this one as well.
And also Tim and his guys are using a lot of long shots because you remember we talked to Lucy about Port Zealand. If you weren't there, the tent was actually wider than it was longer this time. So what that gave was it gave Jens more to light up.
Walk across, frankly. Yeah.
But also Tim's captured some really great shots, long shots of the whole of that front of the tent. And it looks stunning. It really does. But yeah, Jens and his lighting team did an amazing job on that.
They always do.
Yeah. But again, it's gone up a level again, I would say. H is playing his little Bon Tempe keyboard, his little like portable thing.
Yeah, so it's almost like the sides were like a zine. What was the old
stylophone?
Stylophone.
Don't say Rolf Harris. Don't get us in bother. No, it's not a stylophone. It's a little keyboard.
A little keyboard.
Yes.
With his dainty little fingers.
Yeah. Some nice crowd shots after Reprogram the Gene. And the star of the front row, James Greenwood, is there with lots of his other friends who are always on the front row. Apologies if I haven't name-checked you and you're one of those. Next up, as per the album, is Murder Machines.
Well, you forgot to say Only a Kiss, but that doesn't count.
No,
really,
I didn't. I've got Only a Kiss on my notes here because Only a Kiss is amazing. Pete goes bonkers.
Yay!
Pete's playing on the centre. It's amazing. Yes, good. It's good. There's some really good screen media on this one, I think. Elements of what was on the
video for the single.
Yeah, and the video for the single. And it works really well. I can hear Louis Jardim on this as well, if I'm honest. You can't, can you?
Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. I think the thing is with Louis Jardim and Marillion, they're so loud. The sound is so loud. And a lot of the time you really struggle to see. I mean, you can see him going six out. he's working his little socks off, but sometimes the mix is so loud that you can't hear him because sometimes it's a bit delicate. It works great on the quieter songs,
and the
bits like that. But when you've got Ian and Rothers kind of going full tilt with the amps up to 11 kind of thing, it's a bit
harder to hear him, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah.
But we just get a full introduction from H after this song. Talking about, taking him out on the tour and him having a great time. And so they've invited him back and he's an absolute legend and all of that sort of stuff. All of which is true, yeah. And then H introduces In Praise of Folly.
And they join us for the next
string quartet. And they come onto the stage and H appears in his crow jacket. I call it a crow jacket. He appears in a little furry jacket. Black jacket.
Yeah, the kind of clothing that he used to say got him beaten up when he was growing up in Doncaster.
Yes. I can't remember where he said he bought it from. He bought it from a designer place, didn't he? He talked about it on Corona Diaries, but I can't remember where it's from.
It was either Scope or British Heart Foundation.
No, it wasn't. It's from a ladies' shop. Anyway, he comes on wearing the crow jacket because the next track is, of course, the centrepiece of the album.
Your favourite song.
Crow and the Nightingale.
Oh, well, since we're not actually doing just for the record this one, so instead of we've got your favourite slot, we can have your favourite song.
That could change.
Oh.
We're not there yet, but it could change. I might explain it shortly.
I'm sitting down here.
But... this is absolutely amazing.
It is.
It's the string quartet. Just add to it.
They elevated so much. I mean, wasn't there kind of rumours flying around that you're actually going to get the choir noir?
I'd love to see it with the choir noir, but I don't think it's practical, is it? No.
No.
But again, the screen media is similar to what you've got on the Blu-ray that we got, with the sort of silhouette of the crow and the silhouette of Leonard Cohen. It's just out of this world. It really is, to quote another song. And then, of course, you get that Rothers solo towards the end of it as well, which...
Have you managed to actually see that live yet and not cry?
No, I haven't, no. No, I haven't. It really, really gets me in the feels.
It gets you everywhere, it does.
It does. It's the bit where Hitch just finishes singing, then Rothers goes off into the solo. And the solo gets an amazing response from the crowd. And I do feel a bit sorry for H because he's got to sing the end of the song straight off the back of it.
Yeah.
But people are sort of cheering the Rothers solo. But yeah, it's just... for the band to be turning out material like that at this stage of the career is absolutely phenomenal, I have to say. And the Blu-ray does it justice, absolutely. Then on to Something About a Diamond, is it?
No, we're going from your favourite track.
Double Diamond works wonders.
My favourite.
Your favourite track. Yeah.
Easy for my favourite joke on myself. Yes. So we're going from your favourite track to my favourite track.
Yes.
Yeah, I love this track. I love this track. It stayed from the very first time I listened to the album through. It hit me straight away that wasn't going to be a favourite track, and it stayed that way all the way through.
Yeah.
And this version of it, absolutely cracking. And I think the band say that they're actually quite surprised with how many people really like Sierra Leone.
Well, I think they've said that with most things. They've said certainly said they was taken aback by how many people like Crow and the Nightingale. And, you know, I mean, Care is the, which is coming up in a minute, is the sort of big finish.
Spoiler alert.
Well, you've got the album, you know, don't you? They're playing the album in order. So, yeah, Care is the one they kind of expect to get a reaction to. But, yeah, I think they are genuinely surprised with how it's been received. But, yeah, it's just, it's really good. I still like Sierra Leone. It's just not my favourite track.
I think it's just, I think I'm similar to a lot of people. It's the bit, it's the walking free and free tone bit that just, that just raises it up, you know. And And live, it works really, really well. So, I mean, I can say I was a bit pet-lipped on this tour when one of the songs that they didn't play was Sierra Leone, but I couldn't understand.
The again, the lights and the screen media are great on this. Really nice. What Jens is doing, using the width again of the stage, is fantastic. Really good. Which brings us on to the last song of the main set, which is Care. Epic track. Mr. H and his cowbell, and Pete playing the bass intro to Maintenance Drugs, which is chunky as anything on here. It really is. It's good. It's good. I can't never decide whether H is slightly out of time with the cowbell or not. Depends where you see him, really. but yeah, it's Care is just the epic track that it should be live. It's multi-part, starts with some very simple screen graphics and then builds towards, well, there's a bit in the middle before the Rothers solo where it is where he reprises the lyrics from Sierra Leone and Murder Machines, and talks about not even, you know, he's got that line where he goes, not even for heaven, and then Rothers goes into the massive solo. It's just so, so good. How do you find it on here? Good version for you?
Oh, I think it's cracking version. I think across the whole An Hour Before It's Dark, they do play it to perfection from start to finish. It's, I can't fault it. The screen media and all of it is great. And, you know, it's a Rothers, like, second. The second, how many solos is there in Care? There's three altogether.
I don't know.
It all just merges into one because you're so kind of like entranced kind of by it. But when, no, it's really good. Love it. Which is kind of not exactly stock response, but it's one of those things. It's very, very difficult to articulate with Care because it's such an emotional song and it's got such depth in that way. But we'll discuss this properly when we actually do our proper Hour Before It's Dark episode.
I think I got Care, properly got Care, on Sunday night. I was absolutely crying my eyes out during the Angels on Earth section.
Mm, yeah.
It's just amazing. It made me think of my poor mum that passed away during the pandemic. Which it's never made me think of her before. It just got me, absolutely floored me on Sunday. And I've just watched it this afternoon, watched the Blu-ray this afternoon with tears streaming down my face. My missus has sort of said, are you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. But it's, I mean, I love Crow and the Nightingale, but I think Care is up there with it now for me.
it's one thing I couldn't watch it today, put it that way.
Yeah. No, sorry. I realise what day is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that day of the year.
I mean the Blu-ray, the images on the screen media, because when you go onto the Angels on Earth section, there's all the stained glass windows on the screen, and it just looks, and the stage is full of light, and it's such a fantastic ending.
As sad as the whole thing is, it is uplifting.
Yeah.
At the end, you know, it's, Lucy champions that song as the best thing that they've ever wrote.
Yeah. It could be,
but
that was the end of the main set on the Saturday night.
And I think there was hardly a dry eye in the house by the time it all finished.
I came around and mopped the floor so we didn't trip over, and then I came back out for the encores.
And yeah, that happy little ditty called Estonia.
Yeah, just to keep the mood up. we got the With Friends version of Estonia. So the string quartet came out first and did the string intro, and a really nice version of Estonia.
Yeah, it's a really nice version. The only thing I have against the Friends from the Orchestra version is that they took the balalaika out. And if that had stayed in with the Friends from the Orchestra version, that would have ended up possibly being one of my most favourite songs ever. But I just think that version of it misses the... If the two were combined, it would be perfection itself. But other than that, it's great. I love it.
You can't take the balalaika out of the boy, can you?
You can't. Without surgery.
Well, then. Or grease.
It's the word.
Yeah. Next up is Afraid of Sunlight.
One of my favourite songs of all time. One of my favourite songs.
And strangely, although we see it a lot, it doesn't feel overplayed.
No.
It starts as usual with the crowd clapping too fast on the intro. But it's a really solid version. You know, the classic screen media from the AOS sleeve is on there. And yeah, it's good. It's good. What else can you say about AOS?
I don't tire of hearing of it.
No, me neither. Me neither. You know, we've talked, by the time you hear this, you'll have heard us talk about the dates last week and feeling that Neverland was overplayed. But to be honest with you, AOS has been played as much, and I don't feel like that. But hey, next up, go.
Backing. Love it.
Starts with PT, playing his boost, and the crowd are going, beat, 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 beat. Which is good.
They did that this weekend as well.
They did, yeah. The screen media's got some very simple sort of red and green, almost like traffic lights, just a red or a green sort of flashing, which works really well. It's really effective for the first part of the song. And then as the song progresses, the stage fills with light and it changes. But yeah, that's the sort of the band go off again. Well, they go to go off after go. But then the crowd starts singing Wide Awake on the Edge of the World. So
for about a week and a half.
Yes, which is great. It's great. It's just that reflects the atmosphere that was in the tent, I think, really. It was a really good vibe, really good.
I mean, we've had similar things in previous weekends as well, because if you remember back on... when they did Sounds That Can't Be Made. Sounds itself and kind of going on, and they've, as well as similar with Happiness is the Road, the end of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and obviously when you play 3 Minute Boy, that goes on for a fortnight.
Hey, 3 Minute Boy, Jude.
Yeah.
I didn't get that. Could you?
Excuse me, baking powder?
I didn't get that. What are you doing, Dave?
What?
Don't do that.
It's never happened before, has it? That. And then the final two. Well, the second encore, technically, we got the Space as at the Royal Albert Hall.
So was it Mark called it the Kensington Working Men's Club?
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, again, In Praise of Folly come out and start, and it's, you know, very much like you've seen in the second half of All One Tonight. But it just works. It really works. And from that, we go to the last song of the night, which is Separated Out. So it's kind of a potted version of Friends, really, we got after the main album, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah. Separated Out is always entertaining.
It's great, and I love it when the string quartet stand up for the Kashmir bits. When the Zeppelin stuff comes in, they stand up and play stood up. It's great.
They really like they're getting into it, aren't they?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. But that's the main gig on the Bouret. How did you feel? Do you remember how you felt on the Saturday night after the gig?
Well, I usually say after the gig, ooh, me back, ooh, me legs.
Well, obviously, yes, yes.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, but I felt a bit like we'd got what I've just said, like a potted version of With Friends from the Orchestra for the second half.
Yes.
But watching it back on the Blu-ray, it really works well as a gig of 2 hours. It's really good.
Yeah. I mean, they're on for, it's pretty much half the evening, aren't they?
Well, from Crow and the Nightingale onwards, really.
Yeah.
But we must talk about the extras on this Blu-ray.
What, all the interviews and background material?
No, they've left that off. The extras on the Blu-ray are part one of Sunday the 19th of March at Port Zealand.
Yes. So we're actually getting two releases for the Port Zealand weekend rather than a complete, like, three-disc version.
Yeah. So the first half of the set is first four songs. Five songs are all off Brave. Starts with Audio of River. And then into Bridge, Living with the Big Lie, and Runaway. And then the band, H, plays a version of Hollow Man as well. And, I mean, Brave, we will talk about it in depth at some point, but...
You mean we'll start plugging our special 30th anniversary run of episodes in January and February?
Our special 30-part review of Brave, is that?
Yes. No. We're going to actually do it line by line.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Brave in the new year, but it's my favourite Marillion album. So,
spoilers.
I've said sneak peek. So, to see them do like four songs off the bat on the Sunday night was a great start to the set for me. I have to say, I think the Sunday set is more interesting than the Friday set, which will be coming out next year. But hey. So, from there, we went on to one of my absolute not favourite songs, Born to Run.
Yes, you had a bit of a debate over that this last couple of weeks.
Somebody took me to task over the weekend telling me I was wrong about my opinion on Born to Run.
But like you say, it's just your opinion.
Still my opinion, yeah. Yeah. It's all right. It's okay. But it's worth it because next up is White Paper from Fear.
Now, that's one of my favourite tracks on Fear. I mean, you know, with me, Fear's not one of my favourite Marillion albums.
And
no. I still struggle with half of it. But White Paper, I do love.
I love White Paper. But I have to say, White Paper kind of hit me during the UK weekend. I was a bit, you know, unsure about it. And then I saw it live in Leicester. And it just floored me. And ever since then, it's been a real favourite, I have to say.
For me, it was actually the Royal Albert Hall gig that it finally clicked with me.
Yeah.
It took a while. I mean, but again, you know, Fear we haven't touched on yet.
That will be a contentious one, I think. Yeah, knowing both our opinions on Fear, but we'll talk more about that in the future.
I'll just wind you up and say there's nothing wrong with the gold.
Next on the Blu-ray is the old favourite Sugar Mice.
Yeah, the audience are really on form.
Yeah,
that's what you've got to say with Sugar Mice.
Absolutely. And H seems genuinely touched by the reaction from everybody singing. And he says he's never seen everybody sing. So, and the first half ends with a nice version of Genie from Marbles.
I love Genie.
Yeah, I love Genie.
It's been one of... I was back in the day when Marbles first came out, I couldn't believe that wasn't actually on the retail release, considering it's such a good, potentially commercial kind of song. But
yeah,
it's a cracking little ditty.
I mean, that's the contents of the Blu-ray. If you are, it's worth saying, if you're a member of the Web fan club, you will get the audio from the first half of Sunday on the Christmas disc that you're about to get, as well as a cover version of a very popular Christmas song. But I do believe that the plans are still to release the two CD version of Sunday next year.
Yeah, I think that's in the cards, isn't it?
Yeah. I have to say, yeah, Sunday was a great set, I think, but we'll talk about the other half when it comes out.
Oh, we're going to go on to somewhere else, are we?
At the top of the pod, we talked about whether An Hour Before It's Dark live in Port Zealand is better than All One Tonight as the definitive Marillion live Blu-ray. Craig, have you got any opinions on that?
Ah, it's controversial. You know, Fear's not one of my favourite Marillion albums.
Yeah.
But I do actually quite enjoy the performance at the Royal Albert Hall of it.
Me too.
The second half of the gig is just got some of my most favourite Marillion songs, and they played so well. And it, I mean, yes, we were there. We were there on the night. Well, you know, had the experience of it and just overwhelmed by the whole fact that we're band were playing in a posh venue rather than some of the shitholes I've seen over the years. Yeah. I don't mean that really badly. But the band were on top form that night. And it was
a fantastic night. It was a fantastic night. But I'm afraid I would have to say the new Blu-ray is the best Marillion live Blu-ray. All One Tonight was a really special night. It looks amazing. I mean, like you say, it's got all of Fear on it, which some of it's great, some of it's not great. We'll talk about that when we review Fear. Sneak peek. but An Hour Before It's Dark is just an absolutely solid album. And the picture quality, the filming, Jens's lights, the back projections, the screen media, it's the best they've ever done. It is the best they've ever done. If you're sitting on the fence, buy it or ask Santa for it for Christmas, because it is the best Marillion live Blu-ray or DVD.
I love it. I think it's great. But I still love All One Tonight. But here's where I'll go a little bit left field. Marbles in the Park and the Singles Night were absolutely fantastic gigs, and they're really, really great Blu-rays.
Great gigs, great Blu-rays, but not visually as stunning as this.
Okay. I'll give you that. But I still like me Royal Albert Hall.
Everybody's got an opinion. I'm not saying throw All One Tonight in the bin.
I can keep it. I don't have to chuck it out.
Get it out of the bin.
Sarah, get that out of the recycling.
But this is the best. And I can't wait for part two of the weekend to come out. I mean, the other thing about this is the extras are absolutely bloody amazing.
Yeah, I love these interviews that aren't there.
No, don't want any interviews. The extra, you know, the half of Sunday that's there is brilliant.
Even
Born to Run's good on this.
That's not like you.
Well, give you a chance to go to the toilet when you're watching Blu-ray, but that's okay. That's okay.
That was a pause button, you know, on your Blu-ray, Claire.
No.
Yes. You can sneeze and skip the episodes that you don't.
This gets the Mezza two thumbs up. The best Marillion live Blu-ray. Craig's not sure, but I am.
I do like it. I think it's cracking. Like you said, the picture quality, the lighting, the set, the design, the performances, it's all there.
The sleeve, maybe not, but the Blu-ray itself, amazing. There is one other bit of news, isn't there?
Yes, something unexpected came down the newswire.
By the time you hear this, it'll be last week, but a company called Primary Wave Music has struck a deal with Phish to acquire the singer and lyricist master royalties and writer's share for the songs he wrote and performed with UK rock band Marillion. The value of the acquisition wasn't disclosed, but Primary Wave said that as part of the deal, Phish will gain access to the company's marketing team and infrastructure, including digital strategy, licensing, and sync opportunities. Every songwriter has a spiritual and emotional connection with their creations and is very protective about their legacy, Fish said in a statement. He added, I'm pleased that these songs will be heard by further generations and introduce my continued songwriting to new audiences worldwide. There's also a bit of a spiel on the band, but during that it says that Fish left the band in 1998. So he stayed on for 10 more years that we didn't know about.
Missed that.
Yeah. It goes on to say, the deal is just the latest in a series of deals for Primary Wave. It has acquired stakes in the rights of such legendary talents as Bob Marley, Prince, Stevie Nicks, James Brown, Smokey Robinson, Ray Charles, Burt Bacharach, Bing Crosby, Aerosmith, Def Leppard and Culture Club, among many others. So what do you think about that?
Well, it's only publishing rights, I think, had been mentioned. It's not recording rights, so that can be a bit different there. So I can't see it being, unless they're going to go L for leather and try and get the music out there, so, you know, the older recorded music out there somewhere, I can't see it making much difference to anything anyway.
I can understand why he's done it. I mean,
yeah, crofting isn't cheap.
The croft, he's got to rebuild the croft from the look of the pictures we've seen now.
Could have done it on a computer and had played Minecraft.
Yeah. Because Genesis have done a similar thing, haven't they? Genesis have sold their rights for millions. So, you know, it makes sense for them to have the cash now rather than, you know, because everybody's getting on, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's got to be worth their while for them to buy it and to push it. I can't see, without them investing a lot of money in it, how it's going to make any difference to Fish or the band financially in the long term. Unless he's just got a cash out deal kind of thing.
Got cash up front, personally, is my take on it, but I'm no expert. But it's a strange development, one that we weren't expecting.
Yeah, because I always thought he wanted to keep that for Tara for when he's gone, so she has an income from his legacy.
Don't know.
And I think, and I would imagine that, well, he didn't mention it on the last Fish on Friday, so it'll be a topic of conversation on the next Fish on Friday. So if you've watched that, then that is updated before this has come out. So, yeah, wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yeah. We allow Craig a few days to put this together. So Fish on Friday should be tomorrow as we're recording this. So you might know lots more about it by the time you get to hear this. But there you go. But yeah, big news in Murillo world. Anyway.
Oh, I wonder what he's going to do with his £2.50 he gets from it.
He'll get his coffee in the morning. because he grinds the beans for 20 seconds, doesn't he? He's told us that.
Yeah, and he gets his doofer out to froth his coffee up.
Does, yeah. Yeah, he's got a fluffer. Frother, sorry.
You complain about me being filthy.
Anyway, on that bombshell, thank you very much for listening to us again. Thanks for the lovely comments about the two episodes we put out last week. We've been absolutely bowled over. The Mark Wilkinson episode in particular has got lots of love, and rightly so, because Mark is a lovely guy who was very kind to us. But thanks for listening to it.
And also, Spotify.
What, Spotify Wrapped?
Yes, Spotify Wrapped, where people have been sending us images that we're their number one podcast that they're listening to.
On our Spotify Wrapped for the podcast, we had 33 people where we were their number one podcast.
I didn't think my family was that many people.
I wasn't one of them.
Neither was I.
Because this is my number two podcast.
And what is your number one podcast? Is it The Rest Is History?
It's The Rest Is Football.
Oh, well, there you go.
But there you go.
It wasn't Vinyl Fetishist Monthly or something.
No, that doesn't, you know, you have to go via a proxy to listen to that one. You can't.
Is that part of the dark web?
Anyway, we've dragged it down into the gutter. Thank you very much for listening.
It's never been above the gutter.
It's good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Thanks for listening. Take care.
And stay alive.
Greg Olsen!
Thanks for listening to Planet Marzipan Podcast. Please like and subscribe from whichever platform you get your podcasts from. You can contact us at planetmarzipanpodcast@gmail.com. then check out marillion.com, fishmusic.scot, or fishmusic.eu for all the good stuff.